Send the breath up. Up to the highest part of your being. And up at the top, there lives our Christ mind. Christ meaning the memory of God, the memory of one ship, the memory of good, the memory of health and well-being, of harmony. So I like to affirm that the Christ in me is awake now. And those of you who care to, would you know that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. Just as Britt has just affirmed his oneship with the Christ, we do the same. For there is no separation between any of us. As one affirms his highest, we all affirm our highest. The Christ in me is awake now. The Christ in me is awake in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Light is awake in me, in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Spiritual understanding is awake in me, in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being, from head to toe and toe to head. There is no part of me where there is an absence of good. In every part of me is the presence of good, is the presence of life, is the presence of power, is the presence of presence. I know. Let's take that thought into the silence. I know. I know because I am. Let's go on in. I know I am good. I know I am complete. I know I am God's beloved child. And I know I am one with the one on my left, and I am one with the one on my right. I am one with the one in front of me and the one behind me. I know in truth. And so I invite this knowing of truth to invade my conscious mind, so that as I see with my conscious mind, I see with the understanding of my superconscious mind or my Christ mind. I know I am. So with this understanding, let's start our journey back here. Here to this sanctuary, this place called Unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Hey, congratulations, Britt.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you very much.
Hey, I don't know if you guys know, but Britt and Carlos and I do sit down at the beginning of, or the end of a year and talk about a potential theme that the three of us could speak on for the year. Last year it was the parables, which kind of fizzled out because, let's face it, there's only so many parables you can talk about before they start repeating themselves.
Yeah.
But we didn't announce that. And this year, I thought, well, what's a theme that could go all year and cover everything, really? And it's forgiveness. Forgiveness can cover every circumstance if understood correctly. And the three of us certainly have different understandings of forgiveness. Aren't you glad we didn't pick tithing? 12 months of tithing, which is forgiveness, believe it or not, forgiveness of money. But what happened with Britt today is an example of forgiveness. It is the forgiveness of time. That things don't always happen instantly. But there is a process. The only reason he's not being ordained today is because he still has some classes that he has to take. Staying in integrity in the Unity Movement, we don't make exceptions for those who still need certain aspects to complete the process. And so with forgiveness, and said to Britt, why don't we make it an interactive dialogue today? Because so we're going to have a couple of people in the house somewhere with microphones for people who want to ask questions today or work on something specifically that you would like to, and I'm going to use the word here, experience forgiveness around. And I think we really need to get it down here. We don't forgive.
Don't be scared. Breathe.
If I were to forgive you, it implies that my judgment of you was valid. I do not have the authority to judge, and I will keep trying. I want to be clear. I will keep trying to get the authority. But so far in my understanding, and to really my relief, I do not have the authority to judge you, so I don't have the authority to forgive you. Charles Fillmore defines forgiveness in the revealing word as the will, it's a process and the willingness to let go of the false for the real. So forgiveness is an experience, and suddenly when we wake up and realize I don't have the attachment to that I used to have, I'm no longer bound by my old thoughts, and that was the process. Britt, what do you want to say about this? Okay,
that is a big one. Forgiveness is a big one, and it's an important one. We have 12 powers. We've had a couple of years about the 12 powers. I think forgiveness might be our 13th power. Because it's what can change our lives. When we forgive, we remember who we are. And when we hold on to grievances, we forget who we are. It's simple, it is not easy. It's that adage of, do you want to be right or you want to be happy? But the Course in Miracles speaks about. And it is a process, as Sean just pointed out, it is a process. It is the layers of the onion. And then all of a sudden, you wake up one day, like, wow, that attachment is not there with this death grip that it felt like it had on me. For whatever it is that we're not forgiving.
Exactly. Yeah. And why would I resist forgiveness? Why in the world would I resist peace of mind? Why would I resist my prosperity? Why would I resist perfect and whole health? Because I want to hold on to a grudge, a confusion or something. Well, I know one of the reasons is I think that means they get away with it. One of the reasons I'm holding on to resentment says, doggone it, they're not going to get away with it until they make it up to me. One of the ways I had decided with my family for many years where I was bound to them in my mind, if they would just make it not have happened, I will forgive them. So I've set them all up for the impossible. make it not have happened, Mother, and we'll be clean here. And I finally had to decide, but I want to love my mother. I want to love my mother. So I had to wipe away the meaning of what I thought my childhood meant and what they did. And I was set free. Suddenly I was free to hug my mother and have fun with my mother. I had a good time with my brothers, I did that. And then I started working on neighbors and friends, and I still got a neighbor that I'm holding out on. And it's very clear to me, I am holding out on him. And he goes, why would you do that, Sean? I know, it's crazy. Why would I rob myself and the world of the beauty that I am because of one neighbor that did something about 13 years ago? So, today, is there anybody here who has questions on forgiveness, on how you might go through your process of forgiveness? It's your big chance. We have people to bring a microphone.
We declared
yes.
A different space.
Yes, who has, back here on the aisle.
You had mentioned something about forgiveness with money. Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Well, I think we bind ourselves to money. You know, when I refuse to tithe, there's a saying, it's Dr. Herbert Spencer said, that there is a bar against all information, and it is made to keep man in everlasting ignorance. Hmm. And that is contempt prior to investigation. And so if I am using money as something against me, you know, if I think money is the source, if money is the source of my money, and I'm afraid of it, and I'm bound to it, and I don't take charge of it because I can't afford to tithe, even though it's in every spiritual principle, but I can't afford to do that. And so, and it's like, well, have you done it? Well, no. Then how do you know? So with that principle to keep me in everlasting ignorance, when I came into Unity, it took me about a good 6 months of hearing about tithing. Tithing and forgiveness, that they were one and the same. And I thought, well, I want all the promises that New Thought is offering. And I don't want to miss out on a single promise because I'm afraid to try this. And so I had to give way for a new thought about money. That's my definition of forgiveness, giving way for a new thought about it. And so it was a couple of years ago, I was teaching a tithing class, and I realized, oh, tithing is a form of forgiveness around money. I keep thinking money has a mind of its own, and that it talks to me, and it talks to the world about me, and I didn't want to be bound to those thoughts anymore. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
Britt, do you have anything to add to that?
I do. I really feel that when we hold on to any unforgiveness, it can, and more likely will be, a block to exactly what it is that we want to demonstrate. And remember, forgiveness is not condoning what someone has done. It's not condemning, it's not condoning. It's releasing them. Because it's usually in the form of a person, is it not?
Yeah.
We're here, we're living on planet Earth. So when we're holding on to something, we're like this, holding on instead of this, mm-hmm. to receive what it is that we want. And it's a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a practice. That's why we Jesus said, forgive 70 times seven. It is a practice of forgiveness. We talked about this about a month ago, where I said, you know, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice.
How do you get better at forgiveness? Practice. And a lot of times it begins with willingness. I'm willing to forgive. I'm willing to forgive, and one great way of doing that for me is I'm very fond of the golden rule. I have been since I was a little kid. It's treating others like I want to be treated. And if I'm thinking some stuff of others like I have thought, I'm like, wow, it's not a punishment that that comes back to me. It's the law of mind action. What I'm focusing on is what I will create more of.
So if I'm treating money like it's my enemy, then I'm treating myself as if I'm the enemy. My classes, I always ask, what does money do when we go around? And I hear all these things. Money does nothing. That's the answer. If you're ever asked again, what does money do? Here's the answer, nothing. It's paper and metal. It does nothing. I decide what to do.
We do something with it.
And so to empower yourself, and as Britta, my teacher, Edwin Gaines, you know, she went for six months. She made a six-month commitment to tithing, 10% of everything that came in, that flowed through financially. She chose, money didn't choose, she chose to tithe 10% to where she was spiritually fed. And she's been tithing ever since because she saw not just an increase of finances, but an increase of consciousness and an increase of life and use of her skills and opportunities. This is, so let's not make money about money. Let's let money plays a big part in our lives. I pay my rent and money. I buy things with money, but I don't want it to be my source. I don't want money to be the source of my money. So I had to give way for a new thought about money. Release the false in favor of the real. Does that work for you?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'd like to say one last thought about that that's coming to me, that what is money? We call it currency. Currency is in a current. It is in a flow. It is the giving and receiving that we so often talk about, that same reciprocal energy. And so again, circling back to unforgiveness can really be a block to that flow of the currency. And it can begin with just that willingness. Am I willing to see this differently? If we just start there.
Does anybody here have a grudge? Anybody grudge at anybody?
Oh, thank God, two people.
Wow.
Three.
Do the rest of you not go on Facebook? A friend of mine calls it crack book, because we get so addicted to it. That's a minister, a community minister calls it that. Here's my new favorite thing I heard in Unity Village. My friend Russell, Reverend Russell, said that many of us want to serve God, but only in an advisory position. You know, so many of us, we don't know how to forgive ourselves for our past. We don't know how to give way for because we were taught to be guilty. We were taught to be ashamed. And then we did some shameful things. Some of us, not all of you, but some of us, I did. And when I came into healing, I was told that I didn't have to hold on to my thoughts about those things. I could alchemize my past through the process of forgiveness. Now, I'm going to talk, hopefully, a quick story here. Years ago, I was taught to forgive my father. And after my mother died, I went to see a medium. And it was a lovely, my mother came through, my dad came through, all these people came through, it was fun. And then I left that, and my mother asked for forgiveness. By the end of the day, after I had left, I thought, you know, I was angry, instead of feeling so magic. I was angry. I thought, with all they put me through, they still want something from me. And I was out getting a massage from a friend of mine who does Reiki and massage. And I was saying, you know, but I was taught forgiveness is for me, so I'll just do it when I get around to it. And he said, no, forgiveness isn't just for you. You don't want to hold him back from wherever he's traveling. And the next part of my dad was way dead at this point. Obviously, if he's coming through a channel there, he's dead, as far as I know.
Could be sitting next to you now.
Yes. So my friend said, you don't want to hold anybody back just because you're mad. And I thought, you're right. Laying on the table, and I'm thinking, is really my grievance, my pain that's not happening anymore? It was done to me then, it's not being done to me now. And I thought, no, I don't. So, fine. So I got in the car that night, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, okay, God, because sometimes I personify God, and I have a visit. And I said, God, I need help here. I am willing to, and I was surprised the word came out, experience forgiveness around my dad, and I don't know how to do that. But I'm willing to be shown. And every time a thought of resentment came up, I continued to ask. Said, God, show me. I'm willing. I'm open. And a few months later, we were at the summer retreat here for Unity, and Edwin was there. And Edwin, at that retreat, invited me to Arizona to meet Catherine Ponder at a cocktail party for the International New Thought Alliance. Catherine didn't make it to the party. She fell the night before. So don't ask me questions of what Catherine Ponder was like, because I don't know. Anyway, so she invited me to this thing, and I had no money to go at that point. And David and I were brand new. He wasn't going to give me money, although he did give me miles. He flew me out there miles, and he flew me first class, because it cost less miles to do first class than it did coach. And so that started my pathway of first class flying. I got a suite at the hotel for $69 a night. I got a Lincoln for less than it would have been for a full size. I had a great trip. And Edwin introduced me to everybody. He's the funniest man. You just have to have him speak next year. And that started my public speaking. But I have two half-brothers who live in Phoenix. And I'd never met them. And so I asked my older brothers. I said, you have their contact, don't you? And they said, yes. So I called the older of the two. And I said, I'm your brother, Sean. Would you like to meet me? And he said, can't wait. So I met these two men and their mother and wives and children, and it was great. And first thing I found out was their life with my dad wasn't better than mine without him, because mine left when I was four, just disappeared. And then I went up to Sedona where they had spread his ashes years before. And I sat on that rock at the chapel on the rock, and I sat on a wall there where they said the ashes had been. And suddenly, it was a lightning went off, and I heard, he became Jack Monninger instead of my dad who left me. I had no attachment any longer for what I thought he had done. And I thought, oh, this must be what forgiveness is. I no longer needed my old story. It had alchemized through my process, my declarations of I am willing, and then to ask, am I? But to keep looking, I want to be free, I'm ready. I'm ready, and I'm still doing that with the neighbor. But I'll tell you something. I was working on the neighbor one day years ago when our offices were on 23rd Street. I expressed this willingness, and I had a thought of another friend of mine I hadn't spoken to in a couple of years because of what I believed he had done. And I thought, call him. And I called him at work, and I said, bet you didn't expect to hear from me. You want to have dinner? And we've been friends ever since. Without any contracts. We never needed to discuss the old resentments. We never need to make a contract. You can't do that again. None of that. We just enjoy each other. So I'm set free based on willingness to have a new thought. How about you?
How about me? Nothing like that's ever happened to me. No, about, at least 10 years ago, if not 15, one thing that I had hung on to, this was forgiveness of self. There I had, in college when I was figuring out who I was and who I am, there was an old girlfriend that I had. And we had seriously talked about marriage. And one day I just knew I could not do that anymore. And I was still hiding who I was from everyone, including myself. But it was reaching a point where I could no longer hide it from myself. I still couldn't share anything with anyone else, whatever they thought. So for at least 20 years, probably 25 years, I carried that with me. Because she was heartbroken. She was really devastated. And in that devastation, she was really mean. I didn't know you had all that nasty hidden in you. And she did. And I carried that guilt for so many years. And it became, it just reached a point where it became important for me to go find her and apologize. And when I tracked her down, and her assistant told her that Britt Hall was on the phone, she answered and went, "The Britt Hall? Oh my gosh, where are you?" That was not the response I thought I was going to get. And I said, "I'm in New York, I'll be down in Florida shortly, and would love to get together." She said, "Well, that would be great." And we got together, and come to find out, her name may as well have been Dory, the goldfish, because she was like, "Really? I did that? I did that?" She said, "The only thing I remember doing was taking a pair of scissors and cutting you out of all my pictures." I said, "Yeah, you were pretty mean, with very good reason." And she said, "Do you think I didn't know who you were, no matter how much we loved each other?" And I carried that for about 2.5 decades. And it was so freeing. It was so freeing. And so we're in touch. We're not best friends, but we'll always have that love for each other. And we're back in touch. We get in touch every couple of years.
And you release the hostility and fear of hostility.
Yeah, the guilt. So that's the reverse of this. That was the guilt and the forgiveness of myself, which is so often where it starts. Because for me, when I am holding the grudge, I am I'm noticing that I'm the one I need to forgive for holding the grudge. Because if I'm willing to transform the situation through myself, then it creates a space for you to transform the situation, because you've been let off the hook. And I'm certainly not here to police the universe because of an experience I've had, because the only way we can grow, not to become all platitudinal on you, but the only way we can grow is through those experiences, through those times in the birthing canal, in the contractions of life that hurt.
Yeah.
And this, again, this thing called forgiveness is not about jumping from here to here. It is the process. You gotta feel what you feel. Snot can just be infinite in the meltdown tear process of healing. So you've got to feel it and got to own it and look at it, to process it, to get through it, to see the good that is there, because there always is. When you look back, I recently shared this with Sean, I shared it at Unity Village. When I've had those experiences in my life where I, whatever it was, where I just didn't see how I could possibly get through it. I did not see how there was a way through it. You know, those times you just want to jump. It's like, God, this is too hard. And I look back on those times, like, wow. My track record so far at getting through them is 100%. And that's pretty good. That's a pretty good track record. I've made it through every time.
Beautiful. Tony, you have somebody over there?
Yep. Hi. Thank you for the practice, because that's a big piece for him. And I know, Sean, you mentioned something about alchemy, which is probably an answer to my question in some ways, but my thing is, you know, memory sometimes really gets in the way of things, and, you know, there's this thing called forgetting. And I know Kathy last couple of weeks ago mentioned, you know, fasting from my past, but I really need help in this whole thing about, you know, forgetting and what the role in forgiveness is in terms of the forgetting piece. I mean, do I need to, or, you know, that's my question.
Well, it doesn't matter if you don't forget it. It doesn't matter. It depends on the story you're telling yourself when you remember. So what I do is I go within and I say, "Spirit, tell me the truth about this before I make up another story." My desire really is to know the truth, and the truth is always in love. I believe that God, which is law and principle and love, holds no story about us. God's not thinking about what we have done. God just is. God is love. God is wisdom. God is. And I want to know myself as the human form of that. And so therefore, I am love. I am wisdom. I am what God is. And so when the story comes, something David always likes when I tell the story, I said, the other day I was having an argument with David in the car, and David wasn't in the car at the time.
Did you win?
No, I never win, even though I'm right.
Of course.
The thing is, I've gotten so good about interrupting that to say, Sean, do you want to be right about this? Do you want to be right about being wronged? So I have memories that tell me things that aren't true. They may have facts to back them up, but they're still not true. And so my practice though is to keep seeking what is true. When I say true, what has no opposite in love about this? What is the absolute truth about this so that I may become unfettered by my story and my memory? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That works for you? Great. There was somebody on the aisle here. Yes, in the white sweater.
Hi. My name is Kim, and I have a real hard time forgiving my mom. And my mom is dead. And I don't know. I tell people I don't like her. And when she died, I wasn't really sad about it because she's really hurt me so much. And I don't even think I can forgive her because the hate has been for so long.
Tell me your name.
Kim.
Kim. Kim, what if you didn't forgive her, but in God, somehow there is you could have an experience of forgiveness. Are you open to that?
I guess so.
Yeah, you don't have to forgive her. Just become willing to see her and you as God sees her and you. Without any story. Britt, do you want to add to that?
I do, because something you said that really, really resonates with me is that you said you don't think you can forgive her. And I'm here to tell you the truth that you can. It is possible. It is possible. And I did not have a good relationship with my dad. So I can resonate with why you're here holding this mic and telling this, sharing this with all of us. And because my dad died and has been gone a long time, I have got the best relationship with him now. I was able to rewrite that story and let him off the hook, going, oh my God, I wonder who he learned that from and who they learned that from and who they learned that from. He was doing the only way he knew how to be during his time on the planet as my dad. And it switched for me. I suddenly saw him with compassion. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. And similar to what Sean shared earlier about his dad, I went, wow, he's a child of God. And I'm so grateful that I have manifested this place, these teachings, this support system for myself to see things differently so that I can give myself these gifts of reframing. Because a lot of times forgiveness, it's a reframing. It's looking at it and going, how can I see this differently? And again, it starts with that willingness. So I'm here to tell you, you can. And it starts with willingness. And we keep referring to Edwene in these different stories because we both love her so much and she's hilarious. And I'll never forget the first time she said, God don't have any grandchildren. So your mother was a child of God as you are a child of God.
And she forgot. And then you forgot. And then we all
she only knew how to do what she did, because that's what she was taught, and that's where she was on her journey.
Okay, we have run out of time.
No.
We have to forgive the clock, but yeah, that was a fast 30 minutes. If Britt and I were to put together a 4-week workshop on forgiveness, how many of you would show up to work on it? Okay, he and I are going to talk about that.
But you have to let us have a chance. You did all the speaking.
Well, I apologize, but we did the best we could.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. You don't need the class.
They scared Mark through you. That is great, because I forgave myself
even though we've
20 seconds ago.
Even though we've run out of our time, I would like to share this. And even though some of you have heard this before, because it jumped at me early this morning when I got up early this morning, and it's the Buddhist prayer of forgiveness. If I have harmed anyone in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through my own confusions, I ask their forgiveness. If anyone has harmed me in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through their own confusions, I forgive them. And if there is a situation I am not yet ready to forgive, I forgive myself for that. For all the ways that I harm myself, negate, doubt, belittle myself, judge or be unkind to myself through my own confusions, I forgive myself. And so it is.
We give thanks that Spirit works through all of us now to let the message that happened today work through with each individual practice. Thank you so much.